Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, live right here on WWRB 3.185. Glad to have you aboard. We got a great informative message for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and the title of our message is The Judgment of the Tares. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever imagined in your mind what kind of a great distress that the nation is in, and not only that, the world, the whole world, the Bible said, lays in wickedness. Now, this wickedness is spiritual wickedness, ladies and gentlemen. It's the air of the Spirit that provokes. And, of course, Satan's children, the tares, are the executors of the evil. And the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you find evil, you'll find the cause, the root cause, is money. And when you find money, you'll find the tares or Satan. Did you know at one time the Messiah was offered this incredible power over the earth to rule with a rod of iron, with the monetary gain and all of the things that money will buy? The Bible said that money will answer all things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is an opposite side, and that's the sheep or the wheat, as we go to the wheat and the tare parables. The wheat are the sons of Yahweh. The tares are literally the sons of the devil. Now let's go into the Bible. Get your Bible, get your pen, and we'll give you a lot of scriptures here tonight as we begin a series on the judgment of the tares. If you're keeping up with the current events, you know by the signs of Matthew chapter 24 that we are in perhaps the time of trouble that was spoken of by our Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua, when he spoke and said that it would be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, financial trouble will bring about a lot of other troubles. I don't know where you know this or not, but money answers all things. And when money fails, it's written one time in the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 37, that money failed. And Joseph was in charge of the government of Egypt, which actually confiscated everyone's possessions, and the people became a slave to the government of Egypt. And it looks like, ladies and gentlemen, that the same employment of tactics are being used upon the people of America particularly, and probably perhaps the whole world will be caught up in this financial downslide as we're going into it. And I think it's engineered and instructed by the intelligent ones. They have made millions and trillions of dollars off of the savings of the baby boomers that they've retired, invested their money, and encouraged to go into the money markets, the 401ks, etc., and etc. And when Wall Street lost all this money, it went somewhere, ladies and gentlemen, into the pockets of the thieves or the tares that we're going to talk about. And so tonight, let's start in Genesis 3:15 to set a gestalt, if you will, a foundation of purpose for the judgment of the tares. And ladies and gentlemen, it's been a long haul for the wheat to try to grow in the field because there are so many towers. The Bible said, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the scripture says, I will put, this is Yahweh doing the talking, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thee and thy seed and her seed. Now, here it is, seed and seed, her seed and thy seed. Now, he's talking to Satan, and he was talking to the woman. So, the woman's seed and the serpent's seed, two seeds. Now you say, well, Pastor, but if where does seed come from? It came from the woman. One of them was her seed, and the other was the serpent seed. Remember now, we're going to go deeper into the meaning, and basically, we're going to instruct you in Bible study, and if you will study with Pastor Buddy for a while, we hope and trust that we can enlighten your eyes in the mysteries of Genesis chapter 3. Now, what he meant by enmity is mutual hatred. Have you ever wondered why that the devil hates you and you hate the devil? It's a mutual hatred between the seed line of Satan and the seed line of Yahweh. So it's very explainable. Did you know that even the angelic forces, some loved Yahweh and some hated him? So it's that way in the spirit world, if we can say that, in the world that they live on, the planet that they live on. The devil and his angels, and Yahweh and his angels, they parted ways according to the Bible. In the Bible of Revelation, book 12, and verse 7, it says that there was war in heaven. Michael, the war angel of Yahweh, and his angels, must have been a mighty army, ladies and gentlemen. When these warriors fought, this is explaining the mutual hatred between the seed of Satan and his offspring and the good guys, the guys that wear the white hat versus the guys that wear the black hat, in other words. Many of you that have sat in church have been programmed all of your lives, and you really haven't heard the truth, even though it is right in the Bible. The apple was figuratively for sexual relations masked with the terminology Eve was beguiled by Satan. And until people accept this as a truth that it is, they will stay blind to the real war going on today, which is between the serpent, the seed line, and the sons of Yahweh. Beguiled, used in this text, is the same as seduced. If you look up the word beguiled, it means tricked or seduced. Seduced is the proper word here. Furthermore, Scripture says that Cain was of the wicked one. Now, I want you to remember that. It says that Cain was of the wicked one. He was the son of Satan through the seduction of Eve. The term of, he was of the wicked one, and the term of is the same that means offspring. Neither is Cain listed anywhere in the descendants of Adam. And the biggest surprise I'm going to throw on you here tonight, neither was Abel. Neither one of these are in Adam's downline. That means that two of the mighty ones, the two trees in the garden, one was a tree of life, if we could teach you the metaphor here. One was a tree of death, or the tree of good and evil. You know, Satan can be good, ladies and gentlemen. That's how he deceives so many people that are ignorant, unlearned. And my people, he says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, since you reject knowledge, I will reject you. And you know the greatest error of people is to literally, when they read the Bible, fail to go into the root language of the Hebrew and get the express meaning of definitions of the word. Now, Cain is not listed in the descendants of Adam. Now, that strongly indicates that Cain was not his son, ladies and gentlemen, because Adam was not ashamed of his sons, but he didn't have any sons until the fifth chapter of Genesis. This woman got pregnant with two seeds. I want you to remember this now. One was the seed of Satan. The other had to be the seed of Yahweh. We said, well, what about Adam? He knew. The Bible says that Adam knew his wife, Eve. And, of course, if you look at most churches and church pastor today, they will pull out Genesis 4 and 1, and they'll read it out of the King James Bible and other badly mistranslated translations. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. That's how it reads in the King James of 4 and 1, Genesis. Now, if you look at the omissions and the translation errors throughout the Bible, the Dead Sea Scrolls will confirm that Genesis 4 and 1 was tampered with. Now, let me repeat this. If you look at the omissions and translation errors throughout the Bible, the Dead Sea Scrolls that was found in 1947, over 60 years ago, will confirm that Genesis 4 and 1 was tampered with. And in fact, this is the way, according to the Dead Sea Scrolls, I'm going to read it to you right here, and a direct quote. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, who was pregnant by Samael, or Satan. We know him as Satan. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls, his name was Samael. And she conceived and bare Cain. Now remember, she was pregnant by Satan. So she conceived. Now, it doesn't matter if Adam knew her after the fact, after the seed was placed. This is the blood of the serpent. Now, the word serpent is a descriptive term, if you will, to show the nature of this sly, cunning, beguiling, crafty magician, if you will, seducer. And the Bible said he was the best looking being in the garden. All the other angels envied him. He was a great looking guy. He wasn't a snake. The Bible just used this terminology to show you his cunning craftiness. He was very cunning and he was very good looking. And Eve, ignorant of what her body was for, which was for the seed of Yahweh, not for the seed of the serpent. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, the Bible says here, well, Adam knew Eve, his wife. Well, it doesn't matter how many times Adam knew her after she was already pregnant with the twins, and we know that when they were driven out, she got pregnant in the garden, ladies and gentlemen. Here, Adam knew her after the impregnation, according to the Dead Sea Scrolls. And she determined to say that I have gotten a man from Yahweh, the Lord, King James Bible. That should be YHWH right there, ladies and gentlemen. So the translation errors just keep on growing. And so if you read the Hebrew, it should be, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. Well, she got one from Yahweh, but he was the good seed. She got one from Satan, which was the bad seed. Thus we have the wheat and the tares. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, we know that anything that is of Yahweh is confirmed elsewhere. If Cain was indeed Satan's son, we wouldn't have to count on just one passage to prove that, and that's for sure. In fact, listen to this now. There are many. 1 John 3 and 12 is a quoted for you. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his half-brother. He was a half-brother. He wasn't a brother. He was a half-brother. Here the word of in the Greek is Strong's number 1537. Now write it down. I want you to check it out. In the Strong's concordance, when used implying a person, it means a son of or offspring thereof. So when the word of is used, the Greek number 1537, when implying a person, it means a son or an offspring. Did you know that now? That little simple word in the Bible, the Greek version in John 3 and 12, it's a very innocent looking scripture, Cain was of that wicked one. Now, if you literally believe that, it changes the whole context and translation of Genesis chapter 3, where we are dealing primarily with the tare. We're going to deal with the wheat later, but in this episode, we'll deal with the tare, and it means a son or offspring of Satan, as it's recorded in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I don't know about those Dead Sea Scrolls. And well, these are ancient books, over 2,000 years old, to confirm the Old Testament, that they kept meticulous records, probably up before all of the craftiness of the lion translators, as I call them, and the scribes who Christ the Messiah said, beware of them. Now, let's go to some of the translation. Let me give you a few of the comparable translations. Let's, for instance, go to the modern English, the New Testament in modern English. We are none of us to have the spirit of Cain, who was the son of the devil. That's the translation, ladies and gentlemen. Living Bible. We are not to be like Cain, who belonged to Satan. New English Bible. Unlike Cain, who was a child of the evil one. Now listen to that. New English Bible. Unlike Cain, who was a child of the evil one. New Century Bible. Listen to this one. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. New Jerusalem Bible. Not to be like Cain, who was from the evil one. And the popular commentaries confirm the same thing. The Wycliffe Bible Commentary on page 1473, he, meaning Cain, is said to have belonged to the family of the wicked one. In Matthew Poole's commentary on the Holy Bible, volume 3, page 936, which showed him, Cain, to be of that wicked one, of the serpent seed. So early was such seed sown, and so ancient the enmity between the seed and seed. Ladies and gentlemen, we think that everything that come from Adam, we've been made to believe that in the 401 or the 501(c)(3) churches, and the proper way to for the pastors is to preach in Matthew 13 and explain that it was just a little beautiful wheat field with a few little tares in it, and they never compare the tare to the wicked seed of Satan that was sown in Genesis 3:15. Now listen to me right here in Genesis 3:15. I will, 14 and 15, I will put an enmity that I've already quoted to you between thy seed and her seed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, her seed was from Yahweh, the good guy. Abel was a son of God, according to the Bible, not a son of Adam. Abel was a son of Yahweh. And it's right in there. And the Son of God, the Son of Yahweh, was slain from the foundation of the world. Who killed Cain? Well, listen to me here in John 8:44, as the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body, was speaking to the Pharisees and proclaimed, "You are of your father, the devil." The term of meaning generation, the term of, remember, means generation or offspring. They were the physical seed of their father, the devil, the Kenites, of 1 Chronicles chapter 5, or chapter 2, verse 55. First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55 says that the Kenites produced the scribes who I have often warned you about. And ladies and gentlemen, it's no great mystery that there is a seed in the earth that brings all this evil. Have you ever thought about the day that is prophesied in Zechariah when the final end time Armageddon battle and Satan and his angels are defeated and all of the seed of Satan are gathered and burned in the pit? What a wonderful, beautiful paradise when you don't have to lock your doors, when you don't have to have five crooked lawyers to get in on a deal, when your word is your bond and what you speak will manifest immediately before you. And the trees in the garden, often used as a metaphors in regards to people, indicating that we find the reference that the Messiah, Yahweh-Shua, was the tree of life and Satan was the tree of good and evil. And Satan's tree, Satan the tree, the man, Satan, not a snake now, not a wiggling snake, as it is shown in Sunday school books, that the old serpent was hanging out of a tree, and Eve standing there innocent and naive, and the devil was convincing her to eat an apple. Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't an apple. It wasn't an apple that upset the apple cart. It was a pear on the ground. Satan convinced her to take his seed into her womb and to have little trees or little bins like himself. And Cain was the first example of wickedness in the earth. And the Bible said he was a liar. His father was a devil and he was a murderer. So then the son of Yahweh, Abel, was murdered. And thus we have a Cain as the murderer from the seed of the serpent, where the enmity became between the good and the bad, and Yahweh had to have a substitute. Now listen to me, when the son of Yahweh was slain in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. We have to have a substitute. Yahweh encouraged Adam to know Eve, and she conceived and brought forth his son in his likeness. The other two was not in his likeness, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know what the Dead Sea Scrolls says about Cain? It says that he looked like the angelic beings. In other words, he was a very handsome dude, and he was very crafty and knowledgeable. And when he found out he didn't have the right blood to get back into the kingdom, remember, he's turned out of the garden. That means he was turned out of the heavenly realm of the fifth dimension. He fell to the third dimension, and when he found himself there, he felt lonely and deserted because Satan couldn't help him. His father couldn't help him because his father himself was shut out of heaven and become a renegade. And until the war in heaven of Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, when Michael, the great archangel, made war against Satan and his angels, and Michael and his angels prevailed, and they cast out Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan was placed, if you will, in solitary confinement. And he was restricted, as the Bible describes, he was placed in chains, and chains indicate a metaphor of a restrictor. He was restricted for a season before he came to the earth. Now, the only place that Satan can come when he's loosed out of his prison, and as we go to Revelation 20, we'll see that Satan will soon be loosed out of his prison. You say, well, my God, if Satan ain't loose now, I'd hate to see the earth when he got here. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's just his children that's raising Cain right here among the good wheat. You know why the tares are persecuted? You know why the wolves are eating the sheep? You know why that they could take advantage? Because they have the right. Satan had, he was actually the governor of the earth. He offered our Messiah all of the treasures, all of the kingdoms, all of the glory, all of the splendor. He offered him everything just to deny you and follow Satan. If our Messiah would have turned his back on his seed, ladies and gentlemen, you would have not had a chance. You would have never returned to paradise. You would have never have had the good life or the good hope. But there is a promise laid up for you and all that serve him. And the Bible said, the eye hath not seen and the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has laid up for them that love and serve him. Now listen to this, and the war is about to commence, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm talking about a spiritual warfare that has been going on for centuries, is about to manifest in the physical flesh as we enter the time and the period of the dimensional shift of the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, I have talked 12 hours on the mysteries of 20 and 12. Around that time, we'll have what is known as the beginning of a new age. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, the age of Aquarius. Aquarius is the sign in the heavens of the constellation of the man bearing a pitcher of water, which is mentioned in Luke 22 and verse 10. By the Messiah, look for the age, he said. They said, where will we keep this great Passover? And he told them to go into the city, and there they would find a man bearing a pitcher of water, and there to follow him. And he would show them an upper room. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all coded metaphors of parables, as the Messiah is telling you, in the age of Aquarius, there shall come an outpouring or a dimensional shift. And then the great war of the, we're talking about in the physical now, the last battle, Armageddon, is between, if you will, the sons of Lucifer, the Satan, in the flesh, the real beings, as they are no longer able to hide in the fourth dimension as spiritual entities. They will have to sheath themselves in flesh bodies, and there Satan and his angels will be on the earth for a short season, and they will wreak havoc, wear out the saints of the Most High, according to Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12, and whose names are not written on the Lamb's book. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to worry about the mark of the beast if you've got the name of Yahweh in your forehead, according to Luke and according to Revelations 22 and verse 4. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 3 verse 10. And we'll see that John is engaging the enemy. And here's a remark that he made. When the scribes and the Pharisees who hated John, who hated the Messiah, when they came to inquire about him, he told them that the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Listen to me now. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast in the fire. So ultimately, in the climactic days of the great battle of Armageddon, when this earth is reeling and rocking and to and fro like a drunken man, When the sun is dark, these are metaphors to explain to you that Satan is coming, that opposes as the light of the world. You know he's going to come in and bring peace. He's going to bring an answer for all of the financial dilemma that we've gotten ourselves into. And did you know that there is more UFOs, these chariots that fly through the night sky and the daytime? Ladies and gentlemen, there is something mysterious going on outside our solar system, and we are engaging more and more sightings of those who from heaven came and are now in the process of returning. And ladies and gentlemen, every good tree that bringeth forth not good fruit, you'll know a tree by its fruit, but a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and a good tree can't bring forth evil. So the sons of Yahweh are discerned by their good deeds, ladies and gentlemen, and Satan is discerned by his bad deeds. But did you know people think that serving the devil is good? That's why so many serve him. Oh, he makes good times. The government promises you a chicken in every pot. We've got a government coming in right now, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to bring us into socialism. And you'll have to give up your rights, what little we've got left. The rest of them are going down the drain, and they're using this man's popularity. And really, it neutralizes your ability to criticize him because of his race. Because he can play the racial card if there's any opposition to his causes, and people are behind him, not only here in America, but all over the earth. They're betting that this man will get the job done, and he will, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what it is? To take away what liberty you have. For every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Matthew 12:33. Now, and Yahweh commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. Now that word eat is Strong's number 389 here, and it is for the word substitute that the translators have deceived us again. If you'll look in the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the word eat is to be translated properly, if it's translated properly, is lay. So now if we say they ate, then we could also say by the proper translation, one of the descriptive terms is to eat. Ladies and gentlemen, lay is 398. That's the word eat. Strong's number 398 in the Strong's. And Yahweh said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? Immediately after Satan gave her a fruit from a tree. Did you know that fruit of the womb is a standard saying? Satan took his sperm, able to make a baby or a child or a son in his likeness, and that's exactly what it done. Cain bore the likeness and the features and the wisdom and the knowledge of Satan, the mighty one, who had beauty above beauty, and all the angels in the garden desired and envied him. Ladies and gentlemen, we are victims of beauty. Hollywood is a prime example. Hollywood puts out more smut, more of the illicit filth that is coming out of Hollywood, and yet we love it because the stars are so beautiful that they couldn't be evil. It's just amazing how beauty blinds the minds, and it blinded Eve as she was beguiled, and of is a direct reference of genetic offspring. Cain was of generational offspring of the wicked one. Now, here is a mystery for you, ladies and gentlemen. When you're looking in to the genealogy downline of Adam, to prove to you that Adam didn't have anything to do with the two seeds of pregnancy in the garden. He didn't have one thing to do with it. Although he did lay with his wife. She was already pregnant with the two seeds. And when we find her bearing the two seeds in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, listen to the terminology, even the bad translation of "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Listen to me as we'll read that for you, and it'll explain to you just exactly what the word "from" means. When she said, "I have gotten a man from Yahweh." Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you just stop and think for a moment, there's something wrong even with the translation that the evil ones put in. Now notice here. "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived." Now remember, the Dead Sea Scrolls said she was already pregnant when Adam knew her, and I agree with that. But listen. "And she said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh." Here it says in the King James, "the Lord." Well, if you look up that word "from," F-R-O-M, if you look it up in the Strong's, one of the definitions that could be applied there, proper definition, is against. From is against. From is rebellion. From is against. And that's exactly what should have been in there. "I have gotten a man against Yahweh." Not for you. Yeah, Yahweh didn't want anything to do with Cain. Yahweh refused Cain. So she was wrong. She thought that since Satan was the beautiful angel, the tree, the beautiful guy that he was, and she, remember now, ladies and gentlemen, she's walking among the trees in the garden. All these trees are beautiful. And so she was innocently and beguiled, tricked, to take on Satan's seed. And this is what Satan's wicked plan was, is to rule the earth with his seed. And ladies and gentlemen, year after year after year, bloodline, royal bloodlines are now wicked. The Illuminati are ruling, and the thrones and the presidency. And they see to it that they get in, because they're snakes. They're wolves. They're foxes in the hen house, so to speak. And all the metaphors that we could direct to you, they are the tares that are doomed for judgment. You say, "Well, Pastor Bunny, I would sure like to see devil defeated. I would love to see him thrown into the furnace and the fire. I would love to see the day that there wouldn't be an evil Canaanite left in the house of Yahweh." Well, it's mentioned right there in the last chapter of the book of Zechariah. "You will see the day that there will not be one of Cain's wicked tare seed left upon the planet." Now, how are we going to get that? Well, we're going to discuss that in part two, how the war has ensued, and what its consequences are, and what its climactic events will pronounce the time of trouble. Now, when we mention time of trouble, we're mentioning the trouble for the wheat. The tares are going to, once they're recognized, once they are identified. Now, the word "from" is Strong's number 854. The word "from," look it up and see if you don't get the word "against" out of one of the definitions that the translators could have used. Of course, they're not going to use it because it's descriptive, identifying the offspring of Cain as against Yahweh. Not for him, but against him. So when she thought that she got a man from Yahweh, she didn't think that. She knew immediately that Cain was against Yahweh. She didn't weep when they had to put Cain out and send him away. And they told to separate from Cain. She didn't weep for him because she knew that she had got something that was against Yahweh. So Strong's number, 398, the term eat means to eat, also means to lay. The term touch in Strong's is 5060, which means naga, to touch, also to have sexual intercourse. And both terms have sexual connotations to them. Both the word eat and the word touch have sexual connotations. So, ladies and gentlemen, the area of tares and wheat we'll get into next week, Yahweh willing, at the same time. And we're so glad in our spirit. We feel so good to be back on WWRB and around the world with a clear channel indication that we are reaching you. And we'd like for you to give us a radio check and let us know how that we have come into your area, wherever you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call on WWRB 3.185. Just reference, give us a radio check. You can call the station at WWRB, and the telephone number there is 931-728-6087. If you'd like to call and leave a message for the staff at WWRB, let them know how the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy is coming in. If you'd like to call me, you can do so by simply calling area code 423-626-2172. So, the tree of knowledge means to have sexual knowledge. Knowledge is to know. And know means to perceive, an experience, to touch, to lay. It is also to know someone sexually, as when Adam knew his wife. The terms eat, touch, and know are often used in Bible lingo for sexual relations. Lucifer was the way of knowing good and evil. He was a tree of knowledge of good and evil because through him they would learn evil. You know what the Bible said? Yahweh's made man upright. Remember when he made man, he said it's good. But they sought out many evil inventions. And so then, Satan knew that the flesh would be weak. Ladies and gentlemen, you know yourself as you struggle to keep the old flesh man dead. You know, he'll raise up on you if you'll let him. If you don't pray, if you don't fast, if you don't seek Yahweh, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't study to show yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, Satan will come in and take advantage. You'll grow lukewarm, and eventually you'll grow cold. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a progression of advancement, or you'll fall into remission. Remember, it's the judgment of the tares that we're talking about here tonight, and we're going in next Monday night here on WWRB on 3.185 around the world, clear channel, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live tonight, right on WWRB. We don't do anything in the tape line or recorded messages and maybe play a 20-year message ago. We play you right up to current date, and we're going to start next Monday night, Yahweh willing, in the parable of the wheat and the tares, as is it's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and 37 through 43. And we're going to give you the things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. We're going to explain in simple language and very descriptive terms just exactly what the tare is and who he's from, and what the wheat is and who he's from. We're going to get in some of the mysteries of the bloodline. We're going to get into the bloodline of the Illuminati. Ladies and gentlemen, I could preach for a year and a half on that message alone to tell you how many wicked and evil people are now at the helm of all of the governments of the earth. And remember, Satan is coming together all of the kings of the earth. That'll be your elected officials, ladies and gentlemen. He's gathering them together for the great battle. He don't know that now. He knows he's got a short time. He thinks he's going to get all of his seed, and he's going to put up his last stand. It'll be Custer's stand, ladies and gentlemen. He will be defeated, but only after he brings the wheat or the sheep through the greatest time of trouble. You think it's bad now. Ladies and gentlemen, they're building concentration camps for the righteous. The seed of the wicked is planning your demise to rid you or to rid their enemy. They know who you are, and unless you know who they are, and that's the secret, ladies and gentlemen, they are very crafty as the snake. They can hide in the grass, and when the grass grows up and you can't see the snake until you get out your lawnmower, it means you go to pushing through the gospel. You study to show yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You get in here and you dig for the things before that day comes when Yahweh will send forth his angels and gather out of all his kingdom the things that offend of them that do iniquity. And you can believe he's coming, but only after a great war that will be fought here. Remember, it's already been fought in heaven. Satan lost that battle, and the only game in town now is planet Earth. So for the judgment of the tare on the earth, the final episode is about to begin. And ladies and gentlemen, this could go on for years, just the torment as Satan executes his plan for the dominion of earth. Now remember, the Bible said he's going to rule the earth with a rod of iron. He's going to cause all that will not receive the mark. And ladies and gentlemen, the mark's been going on for so many years. And Satan, being as crafty as he is the progenitor of the wicked seed that come upon the earth, ladies and gentlemen. And this wicked seed is about to make itself manifest in the earth. I'm talking about the physical manifestation. And everybody thinks that Satan is a spirit, but that can't be read. He's not a spirit. Yahweh is the spirit. There's only one spirit, and by one spirit, you're baptized into one body to fight the good fight of faith, and that makes you a soldier, and you got to put on the whole armor to defend yourself against the wiles, lest you be beguiled, lest you be overtaken. You must put on the armor. The armor is the word of Yahweh. Remember when Satan come to the Messiah? You remember how that he began to resist the devil with the word? Each time that Satan would quote scripture, Yahweh would counter him with the proper scripture. You see, Satan can quote scripture. His ministers can quote scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they have turned themselves into ministers of righteousness. Oh yeah, Satan can be very good. Oh, he's so good. You'll just swear and be damned that your pastor is a good man, and he may really try to be. But basically, he's serving Satan and don't know it. He's deceived, and he doesn't know it. The Bible says that Satan will deceive even the very elect, if it's possible. So, ladies and gentlemen, there must be come in your life a line in the sand. This line is whose side are you on? Are you on Yahweh's side? Are you a wheat or are you a tare? It's time to find out where you stand. Well, the Bible said, if you love house, land, wife, children, or your own life more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. And Satan has so many angles to come against you, ladies and gentlemen. He's got so many tools to battle you in spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, he can make the dog bark all night and keep you up. He can make you sick in body. He can make you wish that you were never born. Just ask Job about it, ladies and gentlemen, when he cursed the day he was born. Satan can bring so many tools out of his arsenal. He's a great warrior. He's very crafty. But mostly, Satan is good. He'll make you prosper. And the Bible said, marvel not if the wicked prosper. And ladies and gentlemen, the wicked are from the seed of Satan. And Cain was his first son, and Cain went out, and he began to have sons, and these sons begin to grow, and they're known around the earth as the Illuminati, blood of Satan. And Satan is exemplified through the works of their bodies. He himself must come on the earth, and he's coming, and everybody's going to receive him as God. Everybody's wanting to be raptured out. They want to get out of here. Satan's going to offer them a ride on the chariots. And they're going to load in, ladies and gentlemen. And what he don't want here, he'll get rid of them. And so then if you get on the first ship out, you could get in an external hard drive and be very hard for you to return. So Satan is going to give you what you want, ladies and gentlemen. If you believe that there's going to be a rapture, you know, the only time that the rapture is mentioned is in the flood. There was a rapture indeed. It was the wicked taken out and the righteous remained. Well, there was one mentioned in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the wicked that were raptured out and the righteous remain. So it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. The wicked will be raptured out this earth. Everything that's wicked, everything that don't know Yahweh, everything that's not baptized in water baptism in the name of Yahweh with that seal in their forehead according to Revelations 22 and 4, they will take the name of blasphemy in their forehead, that's the knowledge of strange gods, or worshiping a false name, as it's recorded in Revelations chapter 13, verse 1. But the ones in Revelations chapter 14, verse 1, had the name of the Father in their forehead. Ladies and gentlemen, you better get it. You say, oh, it's not important, Pastor Buddy, that don't mean anything. That don't really mean that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll assure you of one thing, that the Bible is not to be mocked and be not deceived. For whatever a man soweth, if you sow bad seed, you're going to get a bad tree. If you sow a good seed, you're going to get a good tree. And ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back for the good trees, but he's going to take the tares and he's going to put them where they belong. He's going to rapture them off the earth. They're all going to leave here, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And they're going to forever be banished from the earth. And the Bible says in that day that those who go to that place, it will be full of darkness and gnashing of teeth. So you don't want to go there with the tares. Oh yes, Satan will promise you all of the good things of this world. Many men have sold out for filthy lucre. They've sold out for wives. They've sold out for husbands. They've sold out for children. They've sold out for all of the things that Satan has in his arsenal to deceive you. And don't let him, because he would deceive the very elect if he could. Don't let him, ladies and gentlemen. Stand fast in the truth of the gospel. Keep your head held high and begin to look up for your redemption is coming very soon. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you've got my message of the judgment of the tares. And we're going to get into the timelines and show you a little bit next week with the parable of the tares in Matthew 13. If you'd like to write me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I would love to hear from you. Your means of support, giving us support, is our means to stay on the radio. We'd like to hear from you as we start this new adventure on WWRB 3.185 around the world, Clear Channel, ladies and gentlemen. And we are so thrilled to be here. Just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you would like to call me again, my telephone number, if you'd like to write it down, call me anytime, is area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to have tonight's message, just let me know. If you'd like to have the complete series when we get through the judgment of the tares, you could just call or write Pastor Buddy at the addresses that I just gave you, and we'd be delighted to pass it on to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking forward to hearing from you, and I'm looking forward to being back with you next Monday night, live around the world on WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel. And tell a friend and a neighbor, call them up and spread the word that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is live and direct every Monday night here on radio station WWRB 3.185. Do yourself a favor and your friends, if you'd like to have this series and let them listen in, and tell them about it. And the only way that we'll get to know you is if we hear from you. So write us and call us, and we'll be glad to correspond with you accordingly. The time is coming, ladies and gentlemen, and it's near at hand when Yahweh is going to bring his angels from the heavens, and we're going to have a wonderful time on planet Earth. I'll see you next Monday night. I'll see you Sunday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWCR. Have a great one. Yahweh bless. I'm a hermit by choice, you see. In Babylon, it don't bother me, no, no. Well, I'm a white boy, can't you see? Well, I've become the minority. Come out the people, is what I hear. Come out the people, cause some judgment's here for me. It's falling as the leader, angels calling, better heed it now. Well, there's a judgment just around the bend. It's just the start, but others call it the end. Well, Jacob and Israel is time to choose. And Babylon, and these are white boy blues. Oh, yeah. Find a place to